I would recommend that if you don't have a piece of paper and a pencil, it might be good that you had one this morning. In the handout that you were given, for those of you that are new, we're going to begin on page 4. At the top of the page is, "How Can You Use Me, Lord?" That was brought forth on the 14th of January. I'm letting you know ahead of time that we may not get there. If you turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, I believe the Lord wants to go a second mile or bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ as to what he began saying last week briefly. And earlier this morning, he put me into this path, so not knowing how long the path is, and knowing that it's narrow, we'll see where we go and we'll see when we finish up. Nothing that the Holy Spirit wants to say this morning is detracting from or causing to lose value in specific things that he has told you to do. For an example, when Pastor Dave was standing right about there and in a line, and he happened to go out under the power, and the Lord told him, you don't know anything, or you know very little about praise and worship. And that was a number of years ago. And the Lord gave him a specific amount of time that he had direct orders from headquarters, commander-in-chief, who makes no mistakes, wins all wars, is so far ahead of the devil that he's almost non-existent as far as his plan and his purposes. There are others of you here and other of you that are listening by way of media that the Lord has given you a specific order or specific request for something for you to do. I'm not trying to remove that responsibility that he's given you for that specific amount of time. I could name others. I could name those in my own life. But what is important to know is that when he gave you that order or that request, he gave you the amount of grace to do it. You did not have the amount of grace before he told you to do it. But with an instruction like that, grace comes. The God of all grace always comes and will establish and strengthen and settle you in that order. He would never, ever, 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 ever ask you something to do that you were unable to do. He does not, will not, never has requested you to do something that you're not able to do. You are certainly not able to do it in your soul, and you are certainly only able to do it through his grace, which is power, which is strength. Okay. With that as a background, the system of thought that the enemy is bringing against the prayer center, of those who are pressing towards the mark, is a level of condemnation and a level of an attack that you're not doing enough. No matter how much you did do, you're not doing enough. No matter how much you prayed, you didn't pray enough. No matter how much you fasted, you didn't fast enough. All of the things within the foundation stones of the message of fellowship. So if we can go to Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading. It's difficult to start in chapter 3 when we should start in chapter 1, verse 1. It's really difficult to go to Colossians if you haven't simulated Ephesians. They're almost like a right hand and a left hand. It's been said that Paul never ever visited Colossians. He didn't establish the church in Colossae. But by the Spirit, he knew what they needed, and he sent this letter to them. So in chapter 3, verse 12, we're headed for several different verses, but put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Verse 17, put an asterisk next to it. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's camp there for a moment. If I asked for a show of hands of how many of you have to hold down a job to put food on the table and to maintain your life, you would say that the average that you spent is 40 hours a week, close to that. Okay? Take the time, there's 168 hours in a week, I won't break it all down, but most of us have to spend 40 hours a week. I just looked at someone and realizing that they probably spend 60 or 70 hours a week. The question is what you're spending your time doing, is it what the Lord has told you to do? And the answer would be yes. Okay. The next question is, whatsoever you do in word or deed, did you do it unto the Lord? Think about that. I know most of you. There was most likely nothing that you did this last week that within you, you were not doing it unto the Lord, whatever it was. He never left you. He stayed right next to you. He actually helped you. He's the greatest helper alive, always will be. I mean, he is a helper. And so he helped you accomplish everything that he's called you to do. There is freedom in that. There is freedom in that. Drop down to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. Let's think about heaven. Let's think about rewards in heaven when you kneel before him. I'm going to use Bernard as an example. I could pick many of you. But the amount of work that Bernard did last week, sitting in front of a computer and developing the strategy for the kingdom, for media, and for this message to touch the world. And I could use a whole bunch of names in here. Every one of you, every single one of you, is spending quality time doing what he's called you to do to establish his kingdom. There is no way that any of us can realize the amount of reward that you are going to be given from him when you're kneeling there by yourself before him and in handing you the reward. Because at that moment, you will know, as he has always known, what you meant to him because you were faithful in where you were called. And that you did whatever you did heartily, not slothfully, not wasting time, that you were pressing towards the mark, that you were accomplishing what he's called you to accomplish. We sometimes major, or we sometimes do a lot of talking about how much time we spend in prayer. And don't get me wrong, when can you not pray? When can you not pray? You probably know the experience that I had not many years ago, because I'm not getting older, just a short time ago. I had done several things for Dave. One was something to do with an automobile that he was driving, changing the oil or something, and I was complaining. I used to say I didn't think that God was listening, but now I know he's always listening to every thought that I have. And I would like to say it wasn't complaining, but bottom line of it wasn't rejoicing, and it wasn't, you know, it was not a God thought, and incidentally, it wasn't a good thought either. And I was coming down over the hill towards the church, and I was thinking about the amount of time Dave was getting to spend in prayer, and I wasn't. Okay. And I was coming down over the hill, and I was about halfway down, and the Lord interrupted my carnal thinking and said, "Spit out your gum." I didn't chew gum a lot, but I rolled down the window and I spit my gum out. And he said, as clear as he said everything to me, "Every time you chew gum, you cannot be praying in the Spirit." Freedom. 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 I don't believe that I've had a stick of gum in my mouth since, because of his grace, not because of my strength. But that's in here. That's inside of me. That when can I not pray? When I'm talking to you guys, when I'm eating, or when I chew gum. So the freedom that we're all walking in is praying almost all the time, all the time, all the time. So the freedom that he wants us to walk in, when we get into the rest of this handout, what he begins to say about how important you are to him. When he first said to us that we are more important to him than he is to us, it was hard to comprehend that he's counting on that much of us, exactly who we are today, that he needs us more than we need him. Got to think about that a while. Got to wrap your mind around that. You've got to ask for revelation knowledge about that, as to how valuable you are to him. Every single one of you. This last week I was very, very, very busy. Many of the things I did I wanted to do. Other things I did I didn't want to do. But at the end of each day, if you're able to say, Father, how are you looking at me right now for this last day? He will not say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If that's what you hear, that's how you're interpreting what he's saying. He will say, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I am well pleased. If you're unable to hear that, Father, I forgive everybody their trespasses against me. I ask you to forgive me of all my trespasses against you. And because of the blood, according to my record in heaven, I have never failed you. Now what do you hear? Now what do you hear? Because of the blood, you will hear. You are my son, you are my daughter, and I am very well pleased. Continue to press towards the mark. Continue to walk towards me. You at peace? You at peace? Let's go to the Word. January 14th, 2010. How can you use me, Lord? My children have heard of my wondrous plan, but many still say, how can you use me, Lord? They continue to walk under the shadow of circumstances, not knowing the fullness of their salvation. But I say to you, lift up your eyes and see where your help comes from. Awake from this slumber, for you are mine, and I will keep you in truth. A year ago we began with Ephesians 5:14, if you'd like to turn there. A year later, he is still saying the same thing. Except now, he is classifying a part of the slumber. And that is that we continue to walk under the shadow of circumstances. He's defining the slumber. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. He will illuminate you. He will illuminate you past all of those circumstances, and you will begin to see who you are. Who you really, really are. I would like to be able to take all of the last year's messages and condense it down into something and shoot it inside my veins, right into my heart, so it's resident there, as to how valuable you are and who we really are in Christ. You are in this world, but You are not of this world. Hear me when I say, rejoice in the joy of your salvation, for you are not of this world. When I reveal my plans, say, oh, yes, Father, and what do you want me to do? In John 15, verses 17 through 20, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. These things that I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. You are not of this world. Say it. I am not of this world. I'm really not of this world. Rejoice in the joy of your salvation, for you are not of this world. When I reveal my plans, say, oh, yes, Father, and what do you want me to do? I say again, rejoice in the joy of your salvation, for you are not of this world. Rejoice in the joy of your salvation, because your names are written in heaven. And I do not write the names of my children in 6-point font, small type. I write them with the very stars of heaven. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for if you are not of this world, you are of my kingdom. Do you know how small 6-point type is? You know how small 6-point type is, but can you believe what he said? Can you believe that your name is written using the stars of heaven? Think about it. There'll come a day when you're before him, and he will show you and say, see there? See there? I never lied. I'm only the truth. I can only tell the truth. And there is your name that I've called you for before the foundation of the world. There's your name. I'd just like to sit down and think about that for a while. Okay. I wonder where your name is compared to where my name is. You know, I wonder if you're in the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere. Wherever it is, it's the right place. Wherever it is, there's no ranking, incidentally. It's just in heaven, and you're going to be able to see it. Why would I write your name if I wasn't going to show it to you someday? And say, that's what I thought about you all this time. Look at that. You know, there you are. It's before me all the time. It's before me all the time. I've put it there for eternity. I heard someone talking about the space craft that they sent out there, that they got out to nowhere at the end of our galaxy or whatever, and all of a sudden they found a whole another X number of galaxies, you know, that they thought they were black holes, and they weren't black holes, they were full of stars. I'm out there somewhere, and so are you. So are you, and your name, it's not going to be hard to find it. It's, you know, you ever look in the sky and try to find the Big Dipper and the Small Dipper and the this and the that? I'm not going to have to look. Neither are you. It's going to be so clear that you're going to say, oh, isn't that something? It'll be there forever. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for if you are not of this world, you are of my kingdom. Now, hear everything through this truth, and let all your words be established in this truth. Let all your words, let all your words be established in this truth. The truth is, there is not an enemy who can stand in the face of my words, spoken in faith by one of my children who knows who he is in me. There is not an enemy who can stand in the face of my words. That's a clear definition of confessions. That's a clear definition of affirmations. That's a clear definition of everything that we should be speaking. There is not an enemy who can stand in the face of my words, spoken in faith by one of my children who knows who he is in me. The book of Ephesians is a great book to begin to find out who you are in him. It doesn't matter who you are in the world. It matters who you know you are in him. I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like you to write this question down. And I'd like you to meditate on it for 40 hours, 50 hours. If you ask me, do I have the answer to the question? No, I'm looking for somebody that can give me the answer. And I know that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give it to me. But he asked me a question this week. And he said this: what is the difference between faith and authority? What is the difference between faith and authority? Is there any difference between faith and authority? He really is saying that we need to learn how to rejoice over our salvation. I'll ask you another question that he just brought up. I'll give you something more to... It's homework. Give you something to meditate on. How many times have you sat in his presence and asked him how you bring him pleasure? How many times have you sat in his presence, waiting on him, that you've asked him, Father, how do I bring you pleasure? You may have never asked him. But he really wants to tell you. He really wants to destroy everything that the enemy has said about how you don't bring him pleasure. January 17th, fatherhood is the heart of my plan. As we're going over these, the Lord has told me that this is going to be a short season that we do this. It's a practice run for you to do it individually with every word that comes forth into your life, whether it be about you personally or whether it be about the family that you're a part of. That this would be a short season. So most of the comments that I'm making is what the Holy Spirit has dealt with me and interpreted the word to me. I could call out people and say, what did the Lord say you about that word? And it would be somewhat different, but it would be still on the same foundation. It would be that you're receiving something that you personally need, because he's the teacher at the blackboard, as we've been told. He knows your heart, so he's going to express to you out of these words what exactly fits your need for you to be more conformed to him. Okay? So you're actually listening to my meditation, and he wants you to do your own meditation on the words. It is his plan. It is his plan to bring us into a level of unity around what he has spoken for us to be able to possess the promised land or win the war or take our position within the family to accomplish what he's called us to accomplish. Fatherhood is the heart of my plan. Do you know that your father is love? There's not a one of us in here that had a perfect father. There's not a one of us in here that have not carried a bruise or a hurt or a sorrow in our soul in regards to the father that we had. He's wanting us to remove all of that and bring us into a relationship with him as a father. And believe me, within each one of our spirits, the image of the Father is there, and doing the message is slowly but surely and completely, line upon line, bringing us into a relationship with a Father that we've never had before. Okay. But he has chose this time, this year, begin to, let's say, expose or reveal himself as a father like you've never met before or never known before. And it's called love. We know that. Okay. But he really, really wants you to know him as a father. Do you know that your father is love? Do you know that more than anything else, I want you to know me and understand who I am? I want you to know and understand my love for you. Men has an inkling of this love. Parents can know a kind of love that a parent has for a child. But until they know me and know my love, they have not really entered into the love I operate in as a parent. I am the father of spirits. I am your Father. He wants to teach us how he's going to operate as your parent. Awesome. Awesome. As your parent, as your mom, as your dad, he wants to show us how you are his child. Go through these, go through the word. Look up the word children. He calls us children, children, children. My children, my children, my children. All of your desires for your children comes from him because he is the Father. All your love for your children. I wish he would have said grandchildren. You know. A man can love a woman and a woman can love a man, but until they know me and know my love, they cannot really know the love that is available in the oneness of union. I have joined my spirit to your spirit, and we are one. I want to uncover many treasures of my fatherhood to those who continue to seek me. I want to carve away misconceptions so that only the truth about me will stand, and that this truth will stand tall in you. Fatherhood is the heart of my plan. Loving you as a father, like no one else can, was and is the heart of my plan. I alone am your Father eternal. I alone loved before the world began. I alone, as your Father, conceived you by my Spirit in my redemption plan. Many sons and daughters is my plan. As you learn more about me, you will learn about you in me and grow in understanding my Father's heart and my plan. My love for you is indescribable to your soul. You will never understand it in your soul. But to your spirit, I can reveal my love and help you grow taller in the understanding of the mysteries of who I am. Mark this down. Underline this. Cap it. Yellow highlight it. This is the year to focus intently on my heart as your Father and to reach into more of me. Instruction. This is the year. The year of finding out who the Father is to you. This is the year, not last year, and not next year. This is, to me, a war cry. To me, it is a command. To me, it is the number one thing on his heart. The number one thing on his heart is not for me to develop media. Whatever was the number one thing on your heart for this year, you need to replace it with that. There are many, many wonderful things happening, exciting things. But to take those things that are happening and remove that command from those, these are all incidental. These are all incidental. These are all on a scale of 1 to 10, they're a 5. And that command is a 10, plus 10. In your life, your daily life, it is having to lay aside the weights that so easily besets us. The weights. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. And the sin. I'm not really concerned about sins within this context of what we're talking about. It's the weights. It's what the Lord has said before. Last year, God things could become this year's good. And if it's a good, it's a weight. But he's saying, lay aside. How does he say it? This is a year to focus intently on my heart as your Father and to reach into more of me. As you reach into more of me, I'm going to take you into new freedom, a new liberty. For as you see more of me, you will understand more of my life in you, and hindrances will fall by the wayside, and you will walk in more of freedom that comes from understanding who I am. If I can get a few to walk into more of me, say, I'm one of the few. I'm really one of the few. I want to be one of the few. And however else you want to say it, I'm going to be one of the few. I'm going to be one of the few. I will have a few who will walk into truth, and this truth revealed can set many free. It only takes one light to dispel the darkness. I have lights that are walking in truth, and as your Father, I look with anticipation to my sons advancing into more of me. I look with anticipation at what the world will see of me as my lights dispel darkness and shine the light on the truth path into me. Fellowship much with the one I have sent to guide you into me. Take the time to enter into more of me. More of me, number one, more of me is the answer to all you need. More of me is what the world is waiting to see. More of me is the only thing your heart needs. More of me. The only answer is more and more of me. I am always in anticipation of every moment that a heart looks to me, for I am all that you need. Next one, my grace ahead of time. With this one, we'll close. In my kingdom, an alarm is not to cause alarm. Have you ever heard that before? Isn't that something? In my kingdom, an alarm is not a cause for alarm, but a signal of my grace ahead of time. It is an answer before you call. My strength and my instructions, my love manifested in wisdom and understanding. Stay close to me. I am your victory, a very present help in time of trouble. An alarm is a signal of my grace ahead of time. The word does say that he is a God that answers before we even call on him. So the alarms that each one of your hearts are carrying, the alarm to become closer to him, the alarm to have more fellowship, the alarm, whatever your heart's saying, it's a key that heart's desire that you have, that you're considering an alarm, is saying grace is available ahead of time before you need it, and I'm here as grace available. See you in 35 minutes.